Hello and welcome to All Things Apostolic. I'm your host, Casey Sees, and today we're going to look into the biblical account of receiving the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues. In today's episode, we're going to explore the historical, theological, and practical aspects as described in Scripture. In today's episode, we'll challenge some common misconceptions, explore the roots of speaking in tongues on the day of Pentecost, and what it meant for the early church as well as us for today. And so when we talk about the historical context as outlined in the narrative referring to the day of Pentecost, it's important to note that the book of Acts is not merely a historical narrative. Instead, it should be treated like a theological manual that has been carefully selected to teach us about the foundations of the church. It demonstrates to us how the early apostles and believers lived out the teachings of Jesus, particularly with regard to the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. You see, while some see Acts merely as a historical narrative with no didactic implications, Pentecostals view the stories in Acts as carefully selected to teach theology and present the early church as a model. Moreover, anyone that says that doctrine cannot be derived from the book of Acts based on it being a historical narrative would be at odds with the Apostle Paul, because the Apostle Paul tells us that all Scripture is profitable for doctrine. Therefore, to say Acts is an inappropriate place for us to draw doctrine from would be crossing theological swords with the Apostle Paul and the Word of God. And so now that we've already discussed that Acts is a book that we can derive theology from, let's take a look at the events of Pentecost, particularly what happened on this day according to the account in Acts 2, and so that we can understand its implications. And so Pentecost is celebrated 50 days after Passover and was already a significant festival in the Jewish calendar. It is commemorated by the giving of the Torah at Sinai and was a time when Jews from many nations of the world would gather in Jerusalem. However, on this particular Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, something unprecedented occurred. The apostles, along with other followers of Jesus, gathered together, likely still pondering Christ's recent ascension. Suddenly, a sound like a mighty rushing wind filled the house where they were all sitting. This was not just any wind. This was a divine announcement heralding the arrival of something new and something powerful. Visually, what followed was just as stunning. The Bible tells us that they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. Throughout the Bible, fire often symbolized God's purifying presence in the Scriptures, and here it signified the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Filled with the Holy Ghost, every person in that room began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Now imagine the scene. Outside, devout Jews from every nation under heaven were in Jerusalem. They came running as they heard their own languages being spoken aloud. The apostles were declaring the wonders of God, not in a learned language, but in tongues that were bestowed miraculously by the Spirit. This manifestation of tongues was a sign. It pointed to the breaking down of linguistic and cultural barriers. We see at the Tower of Babel, language divided humanity. But at Pentecost, these divisions were supernaturally bridged to unite people under a new covenant. This was a clear demonstration of the kingdom of God on earth and that it transcended human divisions. This day also fulfilled the prophecy of Joel, which said, "I will pour out of my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days." And so Pentecost showed that the Spirit was available to all believers and that it transcended age, gender, and nationality. Pentecost thus marks not just the phenomena of speaking in tongues and being filled with the Holy Ghost, but the birth of a global church. It signifies the church's divine empowerment and that becoming a child of God is accessible to all. And so, apostolic Pentecostal theology holds that speaking in tongues is the initial physical evidence of someone receiving the Holy Ghost, a belief that not only sets us apart from other Christian groups, but also deeply informs our understanding of salvation itself. One prevalent view that is often spoken against speaking in tongues in the current context is that the apostles were given this gift primarily as a practical tool to bridge language barrier. But let's examine the scriptural and historical evidence to see if this claim actually holds up. Firstly, the narrative in Acts chapter 2 does not support the idea that tongues were merely for preaching to crowds in their languages. Instead, the scripture illustrates that while the apostles were indeed speaking in various tongues, the emphasis was on the miraculous nature of tongues rather than on preaching. Consider this. The scripture recounts that each person in this crowd heard the apostles speaking in their own language. Critics again argue that if the purpose was solely for preaching across language barriers, then why was there a need for everyone, including those not preaching, to speak in tongues? This broad participation by all that were present suggests a divine presence and approval, emphasizing the Holy Spirit's work in the believers' lives individually and collectively. Moreover, throughout history, respected theologians and biblical commentators have pointed out that the act of speaking in tongues served more as a sign than a linguistic necessity. It was a declaration of the Spirit's power in the church, marking the beginning of a new covenant where the Spirit would be accessible to all, and again, it would transcend traditional barriers of communication, culture, and gender. Additionally, the outpouring of the Spirit, with tongues as the initial sign, aligns with Jesus' promises and the Old Testament prophecies about the Spirit's role in the last days. This theological depth suggests that tongues were not just practical tools, but were intended to signify something much greater. The notion that tongues were given merely to facilitate the apostles' preaching overlooks the broader scriptural context that highlights the Holy Spirit's transformative roles. Speaking in tongues was the initial sign that the individual had received the Holy Ghost. Speaking in tongues, historically viewed as the identifying mark of a Pentecostal believer, encompasses more than just this outward sign of spiritual baptism. It also plays a crucial role in the personal and communal growth of believers. The initial evidence of speaking in tongues at the moment of Spirit baptism is not merely for identification. Instead, it's a commencement of a journey in spiritual growth. Speaking in tongues supports the believer's ongoing transformation and spiritual enablement, enabling a continuous, dynamic interaction with the Holy Spirit. This gift is imperative not just at the conversion of baptism, but throughout the believer's life, because it is an essential part of the believer's spiritual arsenal, helping them build up their faith, engage in worship, and maintain a vibrant and ongoing connection with God. Moreover, speaking in tongues should be viewed with a broader ecclesial context. It's not merely about personal edification, but it's also about enhancing the spiritual atmosphere of the entire community. When believers speak in tongues, they contribute to a spiritual charged environment, encouraging collective faith and a communal empowerment. The theology of tongues reiterates its value beyond the initial experience. It is a gift that fosters continuous spiritual growth, empowers prayer life, and strengthens the church's connectivity and unity. Speaking in tongues is both a personal encounter with the divine, and it is a communal exercise that uplifts the entire body of believers. As we turn our focus to the role of speaking in tongues in the lives of believers today, it's important to recognize its significance across the world. This practice is not only a foundational aspect of Pentecostal identity, but it also demonstrates the Holy Spirit's ongoing work in the church today. Speaking in tongues is not merely a historical footnote, but it is an essential part of Pentecostal theology. It's seen as the initial evidence of receiving the Holy Spirit and marks a believer's baptism into a new life. The universality of this experience, noted in numerous testimonies from Pentecostal believers across North America and across the globe, underscores that the Holy Spirit transcends all human barriers. Each instance reiterates the Bible's narrative, showing that God's Spirit is poured out among all who believe, regardless of their geographical or cultural context. And so, while many would argue that tongues or receiving the Holy Ghost evidenced by speaking in other tongues has ceased and that it is no longer accessible to those that believe in Christ today, the Bible would say much differently, because the Bible emphasizes in Acts chapter 2 that the gift and the infilling of the Spirit evidenced by speaking in other tongues is for those that were there at the day of Pentecost, for their children, and to as many are as afar off. And while the many that are afar off could include geographically those that were far away from Jerusalem, the progression in Acts chapter 2 to move from you and to your children and to many that are afar off signifies not only a geographical progression, but a generational progression. It is a progression that will continue throughout all time until Christ comes back. And so speaking in tongues is essential to the believer. First and foremost, salvifically, as one receives the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Christ, and in their ongoing life as they build up their own faith and they become a part of the community of believers. Thank you for joining me on this week's All Things Apostolic. I look forward to seeing you next week.